I want to welcome our visitors here this morning. We're glad that you have come our way. You have come, if this is your first time here, on a dangerous Sunday. We are actually in the midst of a serious series of lessons that are kind of serious on marriage. And we have spent a whole month dealing with the subject of marriage and what Bible has to say about marriage and husbands and wives, what God wants us to know about our marriage. Last week, we spent the entire lesson preaching to the husbands. Husbands left last week, heads down, tails between their legs. Wives had pages full of notes. Honey, you got to do this and you got to do that. And somebody leaned up and told me a while ago, this is payback week. Because this Sunday, we're talking to the wives. And we're going to do a little bit of visiting about what the Bible says that wives are to be to husbands. And we're going to talk about some of those things. But if you're visiting with us, we're glad you came. If you're a wife and you missed out last week, you really missed out. You should have had your husband here last week. Because this week we're talking to the wives. Husbands, you've done well by being here today. If you're here for Senior Sunday, we're glad you've come our way. Because we got a lot of folks here. We're going to honor some seniors here in a little while. We are glad to have the seniors we have, and we're excited about their graduation from high school and their things that are taking place in their lives, and we're going to talk to them in a little while. But right now, if you will, keep your Bibles open, if you've got them open, to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and that's where we're going to be in a minute. We'll get there in a minute, trust me. But we'll talk this morning a little bit about seven things husbands wish their wives knew. A couple of things I want to start off with that I want you to understand is God wired men and women up totally different. I don't think that surprises anybody. I think everybody here go, boy, that's the truth. Men and women just are two different obstacles, two different things. There is just not anything the same when it comes to men and women. The nice thing about that is with there being two totally different things, is that it kind of makes the whole thing complete. It kind of works how God had it set up, is that men were kind of like the one side of spokes and women the other, and they kind of blend together and fill in the areas to where the other one is lacking. And so you find two different things, and when you're trying to deal with marriage and you're trying to deal with a relationship, sometimes it's tough to relate to someone who is so different. Last week we talked about some things that the men needed to understand about the women. This week we'll talk about things that the wives need to understand about the men. Right off the bat, if you got an outline, here's number one. Wives, be beautiful inside and out. That's one thing that husbands would love, is for their wives to be beautiful both inside and outside. Now, let's start with the inside thing. We read just a few moments ago from 1 Peter chapter 3. Notice what Peter has to say when he says, ladies or women or wives, he says, your beauty should come from not from outward adornment, verse 3, such as braided hair or wearing gold jewelry or fine clothes. Instead, it should come from your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is great worth in God's sight. Now, let me explain what I'm saying for a second. The Bible puts it another way when it says, A beautiful woman without discretion. A woman who is beautiful on the outside but not beautiful on the inside is like a gold ring and a pig snout. Have you ever read that? That's Bible right there. A gold ring and a pig snout. Can you imagine having a pig? And if we got some 4-H'ers in here who've cared for pigs, they know that your pig never stays very clean very long. And the pig's favorite thing to do is go waller in the mud. And they like to take their old nose and just scoot it and rub it. And this isn't just, there's no such thing as clean mud. You understand that, right? They like the worst of the worst kinds of mud. And can you imagine taking your pig and taking your most prized possession, a gold ring, sticking it in an old pig snout and saying, here, go rub this in the mud. Bible says a woman who's pretty on the outside but is not pretty on the inside is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. That means first and foremost, wives, you should be inside as beautiful or more beautiful than you are on the outside. And Peter tells you some things there. Respect, a quiet, gentle spirit, different things in there that deal with how to be beautiful on the inside. And then you can't pass up because it's part of it. Also, women should be beautiful on the outside. Now, let me explain what I mean by that, because there's always some people who always go, my husband should love me for what I look like on the inside. You know, you're exactly right. They should, and I have no problem with that. But you should do the best with what you've got. Now, let me explain that, all right? Men, by nature, God made us that way. Don't blame us. Are visually oriented people. I know you women are going, yeah, I understand that. Men are visually oriented people. And so it is important to men that they have a spouse that tries to look nice. Now, what I mean is this, and understand for just a second what I'm talking about, is that means if you spend all your time with curlers in your hair or the blue stuff on your face, and you understand where I'm coming from, and your husband never sees you any other way. Somebody says, well, I'm not 21 anymore. I'm 41 now, or 50. I don't look like I was when I'm 21. No one expects you to look like a 21-year-old, but you try to be the woman he married and do what you have with what God's given you. I'm not saying go out and have surgery. I'm not saying, hey, go fix your nose. I'm not saying any of these things. I'm saying you should strive to be pretty outside too. Now somebody will go, hey, didn't we just read the Bible just said we should be pretty on the inside? Sure. We also need to be who we are on the outside as well. Dress with an aim to please your husband. Now that means husbands being visually oriented. There may be some wives who need to ask their husbands, is there anything I wear that you just don't like? And you may need to have a garage sale. There may be something, and don't get offended, there may be something, we've done this before. We played a game one time called the newlywed game. Some of y'all have played that. The newlywed game's a lot of fun, and it can get you in a lot of trouble sometimes. One of the questions were, wives, what is it that one garment of your wife that you just don't like, that you wish you'd get rid of? There were about three wives that left that night a little hacked off at their husbands. But you know what? I figured if we did some good there and they got rid of it, we improved some marriages, right? And so you look at it for a second, and if there's something that just absolutely, you know, that big old bathrobe with holes in it, whatever it is that you've got, he says, honey, why do you have to wear that? Maybe it's time to retire that. Being attractive means trying to look like the woman he married. And we talked about the fact that he should love me for who I am inside, not outside. He should love you for who you are inside. And you should try to be the woman he married on the outside. Because men are created to be visual people. Wives, be beautiful inside, be beautiful outside. Look at the next thing. Wives, I'm going to get myself in more trouble, all right? Wives, spend time doing things your husband likes to do. Did you know that one of the top five needs in a man's life, according to Dr. Willard Harley, who is a professional marriage psychologist, is that men want a wife who will do things that they like, to take interest in the very things that they enjoy doing. They want a wife who will spend time doing things they like to do. Now, whether it is ski, golf, fish, you just kind of fill in the blank of whatever it is that he enjoys doing, you are to take interest in the things that he enjoys doing. And I absolutely love the story about the lady who said after it was all over, she said, oh, but I like your point about doing what he likes to do, but I just can't hit that little old golf ball. And the preacher who was preaching that day said, well, maybe you could carry his little old clubs for him then. Or ride in his golf cart.
or whatever it is. Take interest in things he likes to do.
You've probably heard the old fable of the story of the man who went into his wife and he said, "Hun, let's go out and take a vacation together and have a little fun and go hiking, do some outdoor stuff. We'll go do some skiing, some hiking, some camping." Oh, and she said, "Oh, I don't like bugs. You know, I just don't like doing this. I don't like doing that." He said, "All right." And a few weeks later, he came in and said, "I got an idea. Let's take a trip and we'll go out to some place and see a Broadway show and just get out of town. Spend some, I don't like to fly, honey. It's just, you know, I just don't, that's, I'd have to pack and find something to do with the kids." And everything he asked, she just says, "Oh, I just don't want to do that." And one day he's in his office and he says something to his secretary who hadn't been there very long. And he says, "Oh, I sure wish I could go skiing." She said, "Boy, I love to ski. I just don't have anybody to ski with." Not too many days later, he says something about camping. "Oh, I wish I could go camping. I love it when people go. Boy, I just would love to find somebody to go camping with." Wasn't too much later, you know, he said something about, "You don't like Broadway shows and just getting out of town." "Oh, I love going off on trips." You see where this is going, don't you? Take interest in the thing your husband likes. Somebody said one time, if your husband's fishing every weekend, "I just hate it when he's got the day off and he just goes fishing with his buddies." Maybe you need to learn to take up fishing. Maybe you need to learn to bait a hook in there. At least take interest in what it is that he's doing. You've heard the old phrase, "Couples that pray together stay together." I believe it. But I also believe that couples who play together stay together too. I really do. I really do. Look at the third thing. Wives, I tried to make this really simple, all right? Don't nag your husbands. At first I thought, avoid a controlling attitude. And I thought, no, let's make that a little easier. Don't dominate your husbands. No, and then I thought, well, I'll just use a biblical word. Don't nag your husband. Now, let me explain what I'm saying, all right? Two verses I'll share with you. Proverbs chapter 19, verses 21, Proverbs 21, verse 9 says, "Better to live on the corner of a roof than share a house with a quarrelsome," one translation says, "nagging wife." And then the next verse in verse 19 says, "It is better to live alone in the desert." That don't sound like fun to me at all. But it says, "Better to live alone in the desert than with a quarrelsome, complaining wife." Now, say, "Trey, I don't like those verses." Take them up with God, all right? Because I didn't put them there. I'm just repeating what He said. Sometimes the best thing that we can learn to do is not be someone who is His mother, but strive to be His wife. Now, I know there are going to be times when you go, "Yeah, but He acts like a child. And he needs somebody to tell him to pick up his clothes," or whatever it is. But be his wife and not his mother. Knew a lady one time who constantly hounded his wife, her husband. Constantly she was on his case about everything. And then I remember one time her saying, "I don't know why he doesn't want to do more things with me." And I remember thinking, should I just bite my tongue or should I just tell her? Now, that flows into the very next point, okay? Instead of nagging him, be his cheerleader, all right? Be someone who gives him praises and encouragement. Your husband is like a big kid, and I'm honest about this. He needs praise. Wives, you need to compliment or praise your husband, and you will always get more with praise than you will criticism. If you haven't figured that out about raising children, your kids have missed the boat. They're going to have a tough time. If you spend all your time with your thumb on your kids, whining to them about this and that, and you hadn't learned that you can get more out of them with praise, I'm sorry for your children. But it's the same way in marriage too. You'll get more out of your husband if you'll praise him and talk nice to him than you will if you kick him when he's down. Be his biggest cheerleader. Give him lots of praise. Tell him he looks nice today. Tell him you like the way he's doing his hair. Tell him you like the shoes that he picked out. Tell him, instead of coming along going, why are you doing it like this? And why did you choose to wear those shoes? And why did you choose to do this? Instead of questioning everything, give him a little praise. I told you a while ago that having someone to do things together is one of the men's top needs. This is another one. It's called admiration, or admire your husband. This is about number three on the list of what men need, is they need a wife who will give them praise, who will tell them, well done, who will say, you are a good father. Let me give you two verses, and I hope you'll write these down. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 21 and verse 24. Both of those verses, and we're not going to read them, say, your words are like honeycomb. They're sweet, one verse says. And then the other verse says, you can use your words to kill or to heal. You can destroy with your words, or you can use them to build your husband up. Give him some encouragement. He's a big kid, and he just wants to know he's doing a good job. You know, when you told him, when you married him, when you did all the dating, you used to tell him how strong he was, how handsome he was, all those things you did pre-marriage. You need to keep doing those things. He still needs to know that you'd marry him all over again. Let me look at the next one. Number five. Don't make meeting his needs a chore. Somebody's going to say, Trey, you saying what I think you're saying? That's exactly what I'm saying. Don't make meeting his needs a chore. Don't go around going, why do I always have to do this or that or whatever it is for you? Why is it that, you're just like another kid, this or that or whatever it is, or I'm tired, or did you know this or did you know that? Don't make meeting his needs a chore, a thing on your to-do list. Let me give you a couple of points through here, and we'll talk a little bit about sexual fulfillment, all right? Now, we talked in detail, maybe a little too much, about 3 months ago when we studied the Song of Solomon about what God says about sex and marriage. Now, somebody says, is that a topic that you can talk about at church? Well, let me tell you something. The world is preaching its version of sex every day, in every song, on every commercial, in every joke, in every movie, in every magazine. And the church had better open its mouth and tell them how it's really supposed to be. It is a subject that needs to be talked about. But let me say this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 2 through 5, listen to this. When he is talking about needs in marriage, he says, the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to the husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to the husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to the wife. Verse 5. Do not deprive each other, he's talking about sexual fulfillment, except by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Did you catch? That's the reason why. If you're not, that's the reason why. So you could be praying about some things. And then come together again so Satan does not tempt you. Now, the worst thing you can do is say, oh, that is such a chore. Let me tell you, wives, don't starve your husband sexually. Somebody says, oh, you always read that verse, Trey. It's the Bible, I'm sorry. I didn't make that up. I didn't put it in there. Let me tell you something. Don't dwell, girls, don't dwell on the intimacy killers. Don't dwell on the intimacy. There are intimacy killers in your marriage. Things that just kind of, ugh. For women, things like a dirty house is an intimacy killer. Being tired is an intimacy killer. If you have children at home, killers, all right? That's just the way it is. Don't dwell on intimacy killers. Don't sit there thinking, oh, my house is filthy, this is bad, and this is bad, and this is bad. Don't make everything a chore. Don't make him feel that meeting his needs is a chore that you have to do. All right, number six. We're almost done. Number six. Now, I'm going to read this one really slow because I want you to hear me well. This may be the one you say, I'm not sure I like that one, Trey. Wives, put your children second behind your relationship with your husband. Put your children second behind your relationship with your husband. Now, first, let me say this so you'll get this and you'll understand what I'm saying. Your relationship with God is first. You know that. Nothing else, including your marriage and your children, should come before God ever. But followed by God is your relationship with your spouse, not your job as a mother. Now, let me understand. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I'm not saying neglect your duties as a mom. That is a huge ministry. If you have children at home, your job is to be a mama. I understand. But you make sure that your children come second when it comes to relationships. That is biblical. That is important. Now, there's some reasons behind some of these things, all right? I know first that it is not easy balancing between being a mother and a wife, because I know that children sometimes can take up all of your time. It is tough to do both, to wear two hats. And then, if you work outside the home, and then if you're involved in community activities, if you're involved in church, and you're going, hey, something's got to give. And more times than not, what we do is we take our relationship with our spouse and we put them on the back burner and we take advantage of that relationship in order to meet the things that aren't quite as important. Your husband and your relationship with him. Husbands, your wife and your relationship with her should come first before that of your children. Not saying you ignore your children. I'm saying that your relationship with your husband should come first. Do not put your relationship on the back burner for your children's sake. And then think later, it will be okay. Too many couples come along and they invest every ounce of their energy into their children. And what happens is when their children finally leave home, they're looking at each other going, who are you? I don't even have a relationship with you. Do you follow what I'm saying? You gotta have a relationship outside your children. And mamas, it is tough sometimes to put your husband before your kids. And there are going to be times where you have to tell your husband, hey, I got to be a mama right now, all right? And I understand what I'm saying. I know you understand what I'm saying. But don't slide your relationship with God or with your husband to the back in order just to be a mama. It was Jesus who said, seek first the things of the kingdom and everything else will be added unto you. When we get our priorities lined up like they're supposed to be, with who comes first and who comes second and who comes third and where job comes and where my faith comes and where everything else comes, when we get everything lined up like it's supposed to be, God says, it will work like it's supposed to work. Smooth. You know, I'm going to make it easy on you. I didn't give you a number seven on here today, girls. You say, boy, that's good. I've had all of six more than what I even wanted. I actually combined a couple. Worked out all right. But I do want to give you one job. You got a homework assignment. And I know some of you have done this because I absolutely loved the note that I got this week. I won't tell you much about it, but I will tell you this. Made my whole week.
Said, my husband and I went home, we talked about the things you said, and it has made for some great communication. This was last week. This week, here's my challenge. Go home. Wives, this is your job, not your husband's job, but husbands, you may have to encourage her. Wives, ask your husband, let's talk about those six things and tell me how we're doing on those six things. Am I batting 1,000? Am I doing well? Or is there an area somewhere in here I'm not doing? Do you need some more praise? Am I beating you up verbally instead of building you up? What is it that I can do? And husbands, with kindness and with gentleness, if there's something that needs improving, encourage and be honest, but do it in a kind, gentle way. And if you hadn't heard anything from her in about 4 days, come around and go, now, didn't we have a homework assignment we were supposed to be working on this week? Best thing you can do sometimes is communicate about your marriage and figure out where you are and what you need to work on. Don't ever be afraid to say, how are we doing and what do we need to work on? There are too many marriages that are absolutely scared to death of conflict. Let me just tell you something. When it comes to conflict like this, of areas where I need to improve or my wife needs to improve, those are healthy issues, good issues. Don't fear saying, you know, I wish we could do this better. Talk about those things. We're going to close out our series of lessons next week talking about some traits of a healthy marriage and how, well, you can sit back and go, now, here's some points. Now, are we doing this? Do we have a healthy marriage, or are there some areas we need to improve on? We'll talk about some of those things next week. Hope you'll be back as we conclude a month worth of marriage in the month of May of sermons that we've been doing. We're going to offer an invitation song at this time. And if you're here this morning and we can pray for you, with you, if you're ready to become a Christian, we'll help you with however we can. And then following the invitation song, we'll spend a little time getting to know our seniors better. But right now, if you're here and we can help you, we encourage you to come while we stand and we sing this song.